Take your Bibles this morning, turn to John chapter 4. I'm glad I have a Savior that's alive, that I can exalt. Amen. I'm glad my God is not dead. I go to Cambodia quite often. They have these little worship houses things, and people bring biscuits by and food, and they'll stick that food in there for a Buddha, I guess. I think that's who they're trying to feed. But it always rots. They always have to come and clean it out. So someone else can put something else in there for it to rot. But my Savior is alive. The tomb is empty. I was able to go to Israel back in 21 or 22, I believe it was. And wouldn't you know it, I had an extended stay for 3 days because they tested me and said I had COVID. And I think I probably did. But the very last day was when they were going to see the empty tomb. And I did not get to go. I said, fellas, don't worry. I know it's still empty. I got a letter from a concerned neighbor in the mail several weeks ago that said that they were inviting us to celebrate the death of Jesus. Of course, these are the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I put a little eternity book in an envelope and sent it back to the return address on there and said, sorry, I'm going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Amen, because he's alive. But you know, I feel bad for those folks that don't quite get it. Amen. So I'd like to just, I'll share some things, and throughout the message I may share a little bit about our ministry as the Lord leads, but I want to start out in John chapter 4. If you found your place and you're able to stand with me this morning, I'd ask you to do so. I used to do that because my preacher did, but then I found out in the book of Nehemiah, when the books were open, the people stood. Amen. And I like to do things because the Word of God says it, and that's the best way to do it. John chapter 4, verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew, and by the way, he knows everything. He knows everything. When the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Isn't it interesting that God, throughout the Word of God, always tried to implement statements so that we could build true doctrine instead of false doctrine. And then in verse number 3, the Bible says, he left Judea, departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you again so much for Jesus. Father, without your Son, without our Savior coming to this world, Lord, we would not have the truth of eternal security. Thank you for his death, his burial, and his resurrection, triumphing over death and the grave, Lord, so that we too can conquer it. Lord, I pray this morning that you'd please help, remove me from this message, Lord, and just please use my mind, my body, my mouth, Father, to preach to these dear folks. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. I love this story in John chapter 4 because it really just unveils who Jesus is. Amen. I like the fact that Jesus, number one, is always there. Amen. When a sinner is in need. Jesus had already long ago prepared himself to go to this particular place. I like the fact that he used Jacob's well. It wasn't a well that he stopped and dug. Amen. He used something somebody else did. Okay. He used the well that Jacob had dug years and years ago and that he gave it to his son Joseph. We see that. But Jesus was using something that he already inspired someone else to do. Can I tell you, your works will not go unnoticed by the Lord. Amen. No matter what it is, big or small, it might just be a statement. I remember one time, and I believe it was in Parchman, Mississippi, walking death row with the men early in our ministry. And I remember coming up to a young man, and he was there sitting on his bed behind the bars. I said, hey, young fella, I said, we'll chat for a little bit. He said, about what? And I just said, well, I'll tell you what, we can talk about anything. Hot rods, Harleys, sports, you name it. What do you want to talk about? He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, I'll chat with you for a while. And he came up, and honestly, I don't remember a bit about our conversation, nothing. I just said, well, young man, I said, it was nice to meet you. And I went on down the road. I looked back about 5 or 10 minutes later, and there was a preacher with his Bible in that same cell. and he was giving the gospel to that young man. I wonder what would have happened if I'd have said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to talk about Jesus, and you don't want to talk about him, that's fine, I'll go to the next cell. I wonder what would have happened. Well, I'm hoping and praying that fella got saved. Who knows? But Jesus is there. I like the fact in this passage that we know that Jesus is a soul winner. Let's look at the next passage in verse number 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus was a personal soul winner. Yes, he built the church, right? He is the church. He's the center of the church. We're to exalt him as our beautiful special did today in the songs that we sing. I love those old songs. I told my wife, I said, honey, I said, I'm not going to sing this morning. My voice, if I get to singing, I'm a pew singer. I mean, I'll let her fly. Amen. It doesn't always sound real good. I think it was at Fort Leavenworth, Brother Tad. I was singing and I had an inmate turn around and look at me. He said, hey, brother, he said, I used to wish I could sing. Now I wish you could. But I love to sing, amen. And next thing I know, my voice is all messed up and I'll hack and cough through. But I love to sing about my Savior, amen. I love to sing about the Lord. But Jesus is concerned about you, but he's also concerned about every single sinner. I like the fact that Jesus, the type of person that he went to. The sixth hour meant it was noon, and you all know these stories. Sixth hour meant it was the noon, the hottest part of the day. And here's this woman out carrying water all by herself. There wasn't a crowd out there because the crowd would go in the morning when it was cool to get their water. Amen? But here you've got this dear lady and the Lord already knows she's going to be there. He sent the disciples because some of those disciples still had a struggle with the Samaritans, didn't they? Please be careful. We've got to love them all. We've got to love the Muslims. We got to love the Sodomite crowd. And don't look at me funny. I'm not for what they do. I'm not for what the Muslims do. But they need Jesus. Matter of fact, I wrote a little gospel track, and I got one, brother. I may have given it to you already. It's bright yellow, and it has a rainbow ribbon on the front. Amen. And it's what's the title of that crazy thing? I forgot. Oh, yeah, LBGT Forever. Thank you. That's just crazy. LGBT Forever. Now, you're looking at me real funny. But I say in the very first paragraph, I said, isn't it interesting that the very movement that defies the truth of the gospel has the same initials as the most profound statement in the Bible? Let God be true. LGBT. And then it just simply exposes the lies that they have believed. It's not a damning, it's not a condemning gospel tract. It's something that will simply expose the truth to them. Who knows? Some of them can get saved. Some of them can get born again. Some of them realize that it is sin. And when they realize that it's sin, they can repent and believe. Oh boy, can I tell you, they'll struggle. They'll struggle just like anyone else struggles. But here we have Jesus, a personal soul. I love to tell people about the Lord. I keep gospel tracts in my pocket all the time. I got one I've written eternity a long time to be wrong with a QR code on the front that takes you right to a website that the Lord's allowed us to design. And it goes right to a website where, now this is beautiful about AI. I know AI's got a lot of different bad things, but it's got some good things. Because you can go to this site, click on this QR code, and up on the top it says choose your language. And you can scroll down and hit Chinese and hear Brother Van Horn give the gospel in Chinese. And it's actually pretty accurate. I mean, I've sent it to speakers and they say, man, this thing is fabulous. I had a friend of mine that plays professional basketball in Europe. He said, hey, do you have this thing in Estonian? I said, well, let me check. And we didn't. I said, but give me about an hour. And I sent it to my IT guy. And next thing I know, I've got the gospel presentation in Estonian. I mean, so people can just go to this thing, click their language, you name it. There's 34 of them. You can hear me speak in all sorts of different tongues. You can hear me speak in Arabic. You can hear me speak in Chinese, Hungarian. It's crazy, but that's what technology can do. Now, it's pretty cool. We've also got two semi-trailers wrapped with this track on the tailgate. One of them has it on the tailgate. The other one has it all across the side. It says eternity a long time. Could you imagine driving around the road and staring at that? You know they're going to click on it. And they're going to hear the gospel. I love telling people about the Lord. We were at the Fort Leavenworth prison revival just back in November. And in the lobby, you see, I believe I'm a missionary all the time, just like you should be. I'm not just a missionary to the prisons. I'm not just a missionary to the our national pastors in all these different countries, about 30 of them that the Lord's allowing us to be a partner in. I'm not just a missionary to them. I'm a missionary to the world, and I'm a missionary wherever I am because I just love to tell people about Jesus. If I get hung up in a gas station, Paula knows I'm not lost. I'm just in there talking to somebody about the Lord. Well, in the lobby, I saw a young man sitting there having some breakfast, and I walked up to him. I said, "Hey, young man," I said, "thank you for your service." He had his uniform on, and he said something I've never had a soldier say before. He said, "You're worth it, sir." I said, "Wow." I said, "Man, that's the first time I've heard that one." I said, "Can I tell you something? You are worth it too. You are worth Jesus coming to this earth to die on the cross, to raise again 3 days later so you could go to heaven." I said, "Have you ever heard that?" He said, "Well, I've never heard that before. Right here in America." I said, "If you let me," I said, I'll sit down and take my Bible and show you exactly what he did and what you could do so you can know you can have eternal life." He says, "Well, sure." I sat down. About 15 minutes later, he was praying. Amen? And then I drive away. You never know what happens, right? Just last Wednesday night, after honestly, I had a whole pile of bad stuff hearing from different folks and bad news, and Brother Sullivan was one of them, and the death of this young boy, a missionary friend of mine, lost a great grandchild, just all sorts of stuff weighing. And I get an email from this young man that says, "Hey, I'm not sure if you remember me or not, but he said you led me to the Lord in the lobby at the Fort Leavenworth Hotel, and he said, well, I'll let you know I'm in church and I'm serving the Lord." I said, "Glory to God." Jesus was a personal soul winner. I leave gospel tracts everywhere I go. Charles Spurgeon called them silent preachers. Amen. One of my favorite spots to leave a gospel tract, and I didn't do it at your house, sis, but I'll do it at hotels everywhere I go. I want to make sure that the next person's going to get one. Amen. Now, I leave one for the lady that cleans the room. I'll even put a tip in there. You want to get somebody to read a gospel tract, put a tip in it. They're at least going to read the cover. But I want to make sure everybody gets. I hide them underneath the cushion. I put them in the ice tray. I put them in the microwave. I kind of leave them everywhere. But I want to make sure the next person's going to get it. Where's my friend that knows Leroy DeMaselis? Leroy taught me this. And for the glory of God, Brother Leroy, he's got more crowns in his head for this, amen, in heaven. Whenever I leave a hotel, you know what I'm about to say? He knows. Look at him smiling. I've been doing this, brother, ever since I met Leroy DeMaselis 26 years ago. I want the next person to get it, so before I leave, I pull the toilet paper way out and stick a gospel tract in it and wind that baby back up. Hey, can I tell you something? When I get to heaven, what are you doing? Some old boy's going to come up and say, "Man, you'll never guess where I got saved." I'm going to say, "Yeah, the bathroom at the Holiday Inn Express." Amen. Why not? Got plenty of time, right? Honestly, gospel tracts are fabulous. Don't underestimate the power of a gospel tract. You can leave them everywhere. And honestly, I've gas pumps. I'll stick them in gas pumps. Had one old boy I tried to give one to at a gas station, and he said, "I don't want that thing." He said, "I own a gas station." He said, "I have to pick them up off the ground all the time." I said, "Have you ever read one?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, one day you'll wish you did." Leave them everywhere. Man, amen. Just leave them. Anyhow, here we have Jesus, and we notice now that the disciples had gone away to buy the meat. He had to get all the distractions away. Sometimes we have to remove the distractions. And then the woman come and saith unto the saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me drink,' thou would have asked of him, and he would have given him living water." Our world is ignorant of Jesus Christ. Our world is ignorant of the fact that only Christ can get us to heaven. Our world is filled with religion. I get what's called the Joshua Project. I don't know if you've ever seen it. The Joshua Project, every morning I get a little short email from these folks that have done just thousands and thousands of hours of research with a picture of a people group. They describe where they came, and on that description, then they tell you whether or not that they have any type of gospel literature, whether it's a New Testament or a video or whatever, and then they'll tell you usually that this particular people group, less than 2% of them have been reached. Just gives us an opportunity to pray. Oh man, I can't tell you how many of those people groups are Muslim. Just everywhere. That crazy religion is everywhere. But it gives us the opportunity to pray for them. And here we have this lady, and she's saying, she's a little bit, I don't know, maybe a little bit bold at this point because there's nobody around except him and her. And Jesus is saying, if you only knew the truth. People need the truth. They need us to be kind. They need us to share the truth with them. Because if they only knew the truth. My soldier in the lobby, I won't call his name, but he didn't even know the truth. But once he heard it, he gladly rejoiced and he accepted it. So then the woman, we have this conversation, it goes on. She says, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw. How can I get that living water?" Verse 12, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well that drank thereof, and his children and his cattle?" People are just ignorant of the truth. But in verse 13, Jesus said unto her, "Whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." She was a little bit more concerned about her physical aspect at this point. She just didn't want to have to carry water anymore. But Jesus said, "No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about real water, living water, pure water, the water of the Word of God that'll wash your heart, wash your mind, and give you a new spirit." But then she says, "Sir, give me this drink. Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Now in verse 16, Jesus is going to get down to where she lives. Jesus said, "Go call thy husband and come hither." You see, I believe before a person can get saved, they need to realize they need to be saved. They need to realize that they're a sinner. That's why it's extremely hard to get a good person to realize that they need Jesus. They think they're better than others. I've been talking with a friend and dealing with a friend who's gone through some serious hard time, and now his sin has been exposed. Everybody knows what he's done. And he says they're so quick to judge and they're so quick to talk. But the truth of the matter is those people that are talking, their sin just isn't exposed to everybody, but it's just as wicked. My Bible says, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." My Bible says, "A man that looketh upon a woman is guilty of it already," right? Amen. And he goes on, and matter of fact, my Bible says in the book of James, if you've offended in the law in one area, you're guilty of how much? Oh, we're all guilty. We're all sinners. That's why Jesus had to come. And here she's trying to figure this whole thing out. And Jesus, again, I think her spirit was a little bit, I don't know exactly how to say, maybe a little arrogant towards him at that point. But now he starts to get down to the nuts and bolts. "Go get your husband." Woman said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast said well, I have no husband, for thou hast had five. And he whom thou is he in verse 18, whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly." So now this woman understands this must be the Messiah. Amen. For sake of time, I'll go on and say that she knew he was the Messiah. And Jesus began to talk about the fact that there'll be a day, amen, when we all worship together. Jesus was just about to intermingle the Jews and the Gentiles together and realize and let the world know that we're all the same, amen. Matter of fact, it was this beautiful little Jewish girl that Jesus for the first time publicly would say, "I am the Messiah. I am he that you've been looking for." But Jesus would tell this lady, "But the hour cometh," in verse 23, "and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Amen. God's looking for us to worship. Part of worship is telling others about Christ. Amen. Okay, now I want to get you to this next point. And again, in verse 26, "She's the one that said, I that speak unto thee am he." Now the disciples come back on the scene and kind of disrupt things just a little bit. Amen. But this woman, she took off. I mean, she got it. I believe she got saved right there. Amen. And she took off. But now Jesus is about to talk to his disciples. I guess we could call it Missions 101, if you will. He wanted them to eat. The disciples wanted them to eat. He says, I have meat that you know not of, in verse 32. But then he gets down in verse 34, and Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Can I take you real quickly over to John chapter 17? Jesus is praying in the garden, and he's talking directly to the Father. Amen. Aren't you glad that we can go into the presence of the Father through the name of Jesus Christ and ask him anything? And here in verse number 4, we have Jesus saying in his prayer to the Father, I have glorified thee, the Father, on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Amen. Jesus was about to conclude. Of course, he's already at the cross in his mind right here. He's not been there yet. As a matter of fact, he will ask the Lord to take the cup from him in these prayers if he can. But God will say, no, you got to take them. You got to drink it. You got to die. In his heart and mind, it was already finished. Amen. But I want you to see what Jesus continued to do in verse number 8. He prayed in verse number 8. He said, for I have given unto them, the disciples, the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known assuredly that I come out of from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I got a little word underneath that underlined, and I said, study. Study these things for yourselves, my friend. But listen to what he said in verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. They are mine. They are thine. Do you realize at this point, Jesus was not praying for the sinners of the world? You know who he was praying for? The disciples, possibly up to 120 of them that had been following him at that point. Those ones that were hanging out real closely with him, those close believers, those ones that really wanted to know about Christ, those ones that have a Bible in their hand this morning, that really want to know who Jesus is. Jesus said, I pray for these. I don't want you to take them out of the world, but he said, they're going to be in the world. I want you to give them strength. I want you to give them their grace. But the cool thing is when we drop down to verse 20, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Jesus was basically praying for the world because he knew that it would be those disciples that would sell out to the Savior and not be ashamed of the gospel, that would tell people about the Lord wherever they went, that would get involved in whatever God had going on to their fullest ability and make sure that people would learn to know the gift of God. It's our responsibility. Why isn't the church houses across America filled? I believe we failed. I believe we failed. How many people did you invite to church this week? How many people did you witness to? And I'm not trying to run you down the road. I'm trying to get you to think. Why isn't the church house filled? Why aren't the doors busting out? All over America, they're dying. Why? I think we're failing. We're not finishing the work. Jesus finished his work, and then he gave us his work to finish. We've got to finish the work of Christ. And then now I want you to see, as Jesus begins to teach these men, he says this, say not therefore there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already unto harvest. You know, a lot of times, especially being out here in Kansas, we may think of that wheat field and we may think of that harvest that Jesus was alluding to as an illustration. I don't think that's what that was happening. Not whatsoever, I don't think so. I think if you'll back up just a little bit in your Bible, I think you'll see this in verse number 28. The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? In verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. Can I tell you, I want to tell you what I believe that white that Jesus was pointing at. I think the disciples were out there all gathered around Jesus trying to give him a biscuit. They already had their belly full. You know us Baptists, we always eat a piece of pizza if we're the ones going to get it. It always comes back with one open. They were already full. They're trying to feed Jesus, and Jesus said, I got something better than eating. I think Jesus pointed to took the disciples and said, look over your shoulder. You see that right there? I think they saw a bunch of people in white robes. That was the dress of their culture in those days, in white tunics. And I think they're coming up. I think they're coming up the hill. And I think there's a dust of cloud back there. And I said, look under the field. Right there is the field. Right there is the harvest. This is why I'm here, and this is why I'm sending you. Don't wait. Harvest is now. The harvest is now. And I believe that's exactly what Jesus was teaching the people. The harvest is now. And then this I want to give you. This is where the Lord directed me after 21 and a half years working with the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, working on the international field for the last 10, meeting national pastors, doing great jobs around the world, building their churches, doing things that I can't do in Africa while I'm over here in America. Building churches, preaching the gospel, passing out gospel tracts. This is the very verse that Jesus used. He said this in verse 36, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is this saying true, one soweth, another man reapeth." Now here's what Jesus said, and I read it personally. He said, "I sent you." Do you read your Bible that way, friend? You can. Jesus spoke to my heart, and it was as if he said, "I sent you to reap whereupon you bestowed no labor. Other men have labored, and ye have entered into their labors." Now you may say I'm a bit crazy. Matter of fact, my mom thought I was too. She had a life verse for me. Matthew 17:15 says, it says, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic." Amen. You got to be a bit crazy to do these things. But you know, I claimed a verse. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Some of you could quote it with me. "For unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you can ask." Now listen to the next part. "Or even think, according to the power that worketh in us." I've been asking the Lord to give us 8.2 billion souls to our account. And I said, "Lord, if you'd like to double that, that'd be okay. So when we get to heaven, we can give you six. And if there's any more you'd like to give us, that'll be fine too." Now, y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. But now, wait a minute. God said if I could ask it or think it, he could go far above, right? Who's to say when he's coming back? It may be another 1,000 years. Maybe this minute, but maybe another 1,000 years. And if the Lord allows us as a ministry, as a missionary, as a person to invest in other men's lives and ministries, it doesn't matter how big or little. There's some guys, I just give them a stack full of gospel tracts. I say, "Go get them, man," and then get some more tracts and pass them out. Sometimes it's just a word of encouragement on the phone. Sometimes it's containers. We got a container that just landed in Uganda filled with gospel literature. Maybe just somebody going down the road and clicks on a QR code. Who can tell how the Lord will use it? But I believe that together, little churches and churches that get on board, that help us. My soul, we're connected with over 300 national pastors around the world. Every Wednesday night, I get to preach to 130-plus national pastors in India via Zoom. It's amazing. I've been doing it for 5 years. There's just so many little things we can do to encourage people to find something and do it, amen. I was 37 years old when God called me to preach. 37. Had no Bible education whatsoever other than a pew, amen. Nothing. Never had 1 second of Bible college when God said, "Will you go?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I'll be glad to go." He used 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, not as pleasing men, but God was tried to hearts." And the Holy Ghost of God said, "Mike, I've trusted you with the only words, the only message that can change the eternal destination of someone. What will you do with it?" My dad was 57, Brother Tad. 57 years old when he threw up the white flag and said, "Okay, God, if you want me to preach, I'll do it." And the only reason he climbed down from his pulpit is 82 because mom was sick with cancer and he came home to take care of her. Amen. My daddy preached for so many. Matter of fact, it was my daddy's very first Faith Promise Mission Conference where a Rock of Ages preacher come by and God said, "I'll sentence you to life in prison." Amen. Well, I thank the Lord that he's given us the privilege to just do something for him. Now listen to what happened, okay? And I'm going to wrap it up. Verse number 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.'" Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I just challenge you, please find something to do and do it. I told one church, I said, this was quite a few years ago, I said, "Anybody can do something. We need prayer warriors. If that's all you can do at home is pray." I can guarantee you the Sullivan family are desiring your prayers. But I said, "Man, you got a phone, and it doesn't matter how many calls you make the same amount of payment every month." I said, "Get you a phone book." And most people don't even know what a phone book is anymore. I had a little teenager boy about this big. We were doing one of those bearing precious seed line things. And I was telling him, I said, now this is just like tearing a phone book in half. He looked at me real funny. He went to his mom and said, Mom, what's a phone book? I said, get you a phone book. Start in the A's and just start calling people. Tell them about Jesus. I got a letter several months later. Some dear sweet lady said, I'm clear through the A's and halfway through the B's, Brother Van Horn. Well, just do something. Get you a stack of gospel tracts. Do something. Go to Walmart and stick them in the pockets of clothes that are there. Stick them in coolers. Stick them everywhere. Amen. Do something for the glory of God. Why? Because one day, collectively, I believe we can hand our Savior millions and millions of souls if we just begin to do something. That's why I believe missions are so important. It connects us. Amen. It connects us together. We have churches that support us. We have churches that help us. We have people that just pray. Amen. We have people that will go with us. You want to go on a mission trip? We'll get you hooked up. We've got different places that we can take you. All sorts of things, but we've got to just do something. We know that Jesus, hallelujah, many were saved. And many more believed because of His own word. We get them into the house of God, and then they'll begin to preach. Amen. In verse 42, and said unto the woman, now ye believe, not because of that saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now listen to this. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. That woman's testimony was so special that Jesus took an extra 2 days to conduct a revival meeting. Just because of her testimony. You can make a difference. Kids, if you're in public school, you can make a difference. Did you know it's legal for you to pass out gospel tracts inside a public school? Did you know that they cannot stop you unless the school has a restriction from distributing any gospel literature whatsoever? As a United States citizen, you can walk up to your teacher and say, let me give you a little something to read, tell you about Jesus today. You have your constitutional right to do so. There's all sorts of things we can do, amen? All sorts of. But I promise you, when you give the first person a gospel tract and they thank you for it, you'll be encouraged. Yeah. They'll be encouraged. And maybe they'll learn the message for the very first time. Please keep us in your prayers. We've got several trips to Peru scheduled this year. Lord willing, we'll get back over into Liberia. We have a right now as we speak. Of course, this is Sunday over there, Sunday night. Yesterday, the last 3 days, we have a bulldozer on the ground. We have an orphanage being built. We're going to put a Christian school, a trade school, a chapel, and a radio station in that section. We have several other pieces of property there that we're going to do the exact same thing, spreading the gospel all over those communities. It's just fabulous what God's doing. So pray for us. I'm going to get you some prayer cards if you remind me. I'm going to put it on you. And sis, if you'll remind him to remind me, I'm going to put it on you. And Paula, if you remind her to remind him to remind me, now it's all on the girls. Amen. I'll get you some prayer cards and invite you to please pray for us. But also, if you'd go and visit our website, WLFpartners.com, and maybe even RethinkEternity.com and listen to me speak in Chinese. It's pretty cool. But there's a place you can sign up, get our newsletters. I do write little short devotions. I don't get them out every day. Sometimes it may be 5, 6, 7 days before I get one out. I've been writing on the names of Jesus, the descriptive names of Jesus through the Bible. It's amazing. Over 300 of them. I'm about halfway, not quite halfway through, but getting there, amen. But please pray for us. Enter into our ministry without ever even touching it through prayer, through giving, and even if you'd like to go, go. But whatever God's asking you to do today, don't be afraid. Maybe He's calling you to preach. Yeah. Maybe He's calling you to surrender and say, I don't know how to preach. Good. I didn't either. But I had a real good instructor. His name was Jesus, amen. And He helped me through the whole thing. Maybe you're in this room today and you've never been truly born again. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm not 100% sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And if you're not 100% sure, then quite possibly maybe you're not. Because the truth of the matter is, first of all, just like this little girl, you have to realize you need Jesus. It's not your church membership. It's not the way you dress. It's not the way you sing. It's not the Bible you carry. It's about what have you done with Jesus? Did you realize you needed Him? Did you realize that your sin made Him die on that cross and thank God He rose again 3 days later? Did you realize that because Jesus is God, that He came to this earth and lived 33 and a half sinless years, died on that cross for your sins and mine, but thank God 3 days later He rose again? That's the belief part. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be, not might be, thou shalt be, not shall be until you sin again, thou shalt be saved. Amen. But he says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. That's the desire when he tells you about your sin for you to say, I want to stop and I need your help. And then you simply call on him, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me. Help me. Please take control. And according to my scripture, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never put your faith and trust in that moment, matter of fact, I say it like this. If you can't go to that time in your life where you and God had a communication talk like that, or you communicated with the Father your need of Him, if you cannot think in your mind when that happened or how it happened or where you were when it happened, I'm not talking about the hour, the minute, I'm not talking about any of that. I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. But if you cannot in your heart remember talking to God that you were a sinner and that He was the Savior and inviting Him to be yours, you might want to get it checked up. Amen? Because eternity is a long time to be wrong. Father, I love you. I thank you for this morning. As the pastor comes now, Lord, and we hold this invitation, Lord, it's not just a traditional thing that we're about to do. This is a time when the Holy Spirit of God invites men and women, Lord, to act upon what you've spoken in their heart. Maybe some just may need to come to an old-fashioned altar for whatever reason. Maybe they just want to come and praise you. Maybe they want to come and consider uniting with this beautiful church. Lord, maybe they just need to come and confess some sin to you. Lord, maybe they just need to come and say, Father, I'm not sure I'm saved. And Lord, I pray that whatever you are inviting each person to do this morning, I pray that they would simply do it. I think revival could break out if we all did what He's asking us to do, even this morning and in this place. I love you in Jesus' name.